This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, we'll attend a protest calling for Mad Mayor Bloomberg to stop wielding the axe on city workers.
But first, Bloomberg's snow job and the city council inquiry into the blizzard fiasco. And right now we're going live to look at the city council, which held hearings today into how the mayor's administration took nearly a week to clear city streets after a holiday weekend snowstorm. And while the media blamed the sanitation workers, well, we know the buck stops with the mayor and the managers he appointed.
And we'll dig out their negligence and incompetence and find out why the mayor was saying the streets were plowed while everyone was telling him they weren't. We're joined directly at the hearings by New York City Councilmember Jermani Williams, Chair of the Oversight and Investigations Committee.
Thank you so much for being with us, Councilmember Williams.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I'm still mad as hell, and I don't want to take it anymore. Of course, I know right now they're salting the streets, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there were people who literally lost their lives trying to get through to 911 and get ambulance out to attend to sick ones. So where are we at with the hearings? Where does the buck stop?
You know, the buck stops, to me, always with the mayor. But I think the most critical thing that I learned today was there was a complete breakdown of leadership, and there was no one. There was no one person who was left responsible for the minute-by-minute operations and decision-making. The mayor was out of town. The deputy mayor was out of town. There was no one there who was responsible. Also, they had commissioners who were making decisions, or so they testified, not telling the deputy mayor or the mayor about the decision. Most importantly, the decision not to call a snow emergency, which was critical. Had that been called, many other things would have fell into place. In addition, they had the option to call a local emergency Monday or Tuesday, and they still refuse to do that. So the breakdown in many levels, I think it stems from the fact that there was really no one responsible to make these decisions, and the people who made them just really dropped the ball. Like Commissioner Sada Khan, who for some reason wasn't held accountable as the rest of them. Commissioner Sada Khan and Doherty decided not to make any snow emergency, which then caused there not to be the ripple effect of resources that we needed. And if there's no one in charge, how do you hold people accountable? And for the mayor, who prides himself in management and accountability, I just cannot understand how he could let something like that happen.
What exactly would the calling for a snow emergency have done, except for focusing?
I would have immediately told people that they have to stay off the road, one. We would have gotten some other kind of resources, and we would have gotten the plow through because people would have known to stay off the roads. So not doing that caused people to continue to drive. We didn't get the other additional kind of resources that we needed, and it caused a whole spiral effect.
You know, I live like 2.5 blocks away from a whole slew of salt spreaders and sanitation trucks that are down in Gowanus area. None of them, notwithstanding, I mean, by 4 o'clock on Sunday, when I actually was out, none of those were called in. So it really didn't seem to me that it was about people who were still driving blocking anything off. They just weren't called out. And I can't help but think about the fact of Stephen Goldsmith, who is the New York City Deputy Mayor for Operations, who supervises the Department of Sanitation. And after all, he was the Chief Domestic Policy Advisor for George Bush during the Katrina fiasco, during the hurricane. So isn't it still a failure of, what is it, just sheer negligence and disconcern for the populace?
It was negligence, actually. It was absolute negligence. And I can't understand, even under questioning, I couldn't be told what OEM was responsible for that was different than what Goldsmith was responsible for. But they couldn't even tell me that. It was completely negligent on the mayor's part, on the deputy mayor's part. I think they're the primary ones who are responsible. But then you have Bruno, who I was told was supposed to be coordinating efforts. And then you have Sada Khan and Doherty, who didn't make the call that they were supposed to make. And also what I didn't understand is there was a EMS chief who was demoted because apparently he didn't make the right calls. He didn't provide the proper information. But none of these people who have the ability to make the proper calls and had the power to bring the resources didn't do what they were supposed to do, but none of these people have been held accountable.
There are 400 fewer sanitation workers this year than the year before, and more than 1,000 from prior years. Do you think this impacted also on the job or lack of a job?
Absolutely. Manpower and woman power was absolutely a problem. Had there been more people, had they listened to the union president who said they needed more people, they needed to have the levels at a 6,000, this would have been at least a quicker response.
Council
but
member.
They didn't, and it wasn't. And also, I might add, Commissioner Cassano, fire, said that he did, it was either Sunday evening or Monday, he did say that he concurred that there should be a snow emergency or a state of emergency, and they fell on deaf ears. There were three possibilities that they could have called: a snow emergency, state of emergency, or a local emergency. Local emergency gives the mayor so much more discretion. He could have kept the cars that were parked because that was an excuse that it would have been too much to take the cars off the road. He could have kept it parked and just told people, do not get on the road or we will ticket or tow you. They did none of those options, and they could give no reason why they didn't give it.
Did you uncover anything today that gives any real voice to what the media has been saying, which is absolutely slurring, really, the sanitation workers? There was a deliberate slowdown. It's really their fault. It's a working...
Just like the EMS chief, I think those rumors are a scapegoat. What I saw was sanitation busting their behind, not seeing their families, working double and triple shifts. And I saw a lack of leadership, as was evidenced by the answers to the questioning of who was responsible for the minute-by-minute decision-making. And there just was no one there, which means Goldsmith needs to be responsible or the OEM commission needs to be responsible. Whoever it was that should have been doing that needs to be responsible. And the fact that you could testify that two commissioners decided not to call a snow emergency, which is the most critical point, and they could testify that they did not give that information to the deputy mayor or the mayor, and none of them has been held accountable, is ridiculous to me. So either the mayor is not the manager he said he is, or the administration told the commissioners to lie.
Do you see this as an isolated instance, or do you connect it up with, like, the City Time scandal, the appointment of Kathy Black, a whole range of things? How's the mayor doing?
The mayor has a habit of not listening to other levels of government. City Time is a perfect example where council members, like Councilmember James, have been screaming that this is a waste of money, there's a problem. Then we find out that they embezzled more money than it was supposed to cost, and the mayor says he didn't know about it. It's because he refuses to listen to what we're saying. Just like in the snow, we repeatedly told everyone from the agencies directly to the administration that these streets are not being plowed, but we still repeatedly saw and heard the mayor say that 100% of the streets have been plowed.
Council member, this almost reminds me of Brownie, if you will, going back to our Hurricane Katrina. There seems to be this kind of benign neglect. I can't help but have noticed, or at least somebody else and called it to my attention, that Bloomberg had quite a tan. How callous are they to the working class of the city? Is that really what it's about? I can do what I want. I'm quite arrogant. I've got my third term, and hey, be damned.
I think that's a heck of a job, Brownie, quote, is a good one to compare it to. I don't mind if the mayor goes on vacation. He should go on vacation. I don't mind if the deputy mayor goes on vacation. This was Christmas Eve and the holiday weekend. The fact that I have a problem is they didn't leave someone there who's responsible for the day-to-day decisions. There was no line of communication of who had the ability to make the final call. And that just doesn't make sense from a management standpoint. And it's just a breakdown. The mayor is supposed to be a great manager. He botched this. He's supposed to be a great financier. And they embezzled $80 million. So perhaps I'm hoping now that the arrogance has melted a little bit and that he will be able to listen to some of us in the other levels of government. Because if you go back to, the Kathy Black even, the arrogance there, just shoving someone down people's throat without believing you just don't have to listen to what anybody says. Regardless of their level of government or just the people in general.
What happens from here with these hearings?
Well, there's another hearing that's going to deal with MTA and DOT issues specifically. And then the hearing is not finished. The public portion of the hearing is going to happen. The next 2 weeks, there's going to be one hearing in each borough. There'll be actually two in Brooklyn because Brooklyn South was hit so hard. And then we have to go back, take the information that we heard with the recommendations that the mayor's office made, and find out what's best to try to solve the problem so it doesn't happen again. I myself have put a slew of legislation to try and address. And they did have actually some good recommendations. One of them was foolish, though, which was they're going to send scouts out on the ground to see what's going on, which makes no sense to me. just believe the council members when they tell you what's going on.
Jumaane Williams, somebody heard that you were going to be on, and they said, oh, great, he's wonderful. Well, indeed you are.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You tell it like it is. I really thank New York City Council Member Jumaane Williams, Chair of the Oversight and Investigations Committee. We're going to continue to follow through on this. It is certainly a snow job, and we all suffer the blizzard effects in
New York City. Much.
District Council 37, Local 1113 and 375 held an emergency angry demonstration at City Hall protesting the layoff of 129 Department of Finance workers, which is part of the 889 layoffs announced by Bloomberg this year.
But forecasts by the New York City Independent Budget Office and the City Comptroller show that New York City will actually have a budget surplus in excess of $1 billion this fiscal year. So what's up with the layoffs?
Bloomberg's pure antipathy to city workers has also been highlighted when juxtaposed against the fraud in the $800 million city time payroll contract, which many raise as the tip of the iceberg of waste in the city's $9 billion budget for outside contracts and highly paid consultants.
And now we head to the protest.
No more layoffs! No more layoffs! No more layoffs!
It is now high noon, and we're here from Local 375, Local 1113, and all the other unions to protest the cutbacks and layoffs in this city.
Right.
And we're going to come back again and again until we make the rich pay for this crisis. And now I want to introduce Behrouz Fatih, president of Local 375.
The mayor's administration had $3.6 billion surplus in 2010. In spite of that surplus, mayor decided to lay off almost 1,000 public workers. This is not acceptable. Mr. Frankel, the commissioner of Department of Finance, put out a very disturbing letter to lay off more than 120 public workers. How shameful it can be, this kind of irresponsible act. Shame on him. Then they expose this scandal that we've been fighting against for many years, city time. It was supposed to computerize the timekeeping process. But guess what? These guys themselves, they were submitting paper timesheets. It was supposed to start with $68 million, but ended up with more than $800 million. Six of them got arrested because they embezzled $80 million. This is only the beginning. Stop the layoff. This 120 targeted layoff in Department of Finance is supposed to save the agency $6 million. This is so shameful that for $6 million so-called saving, they are laying off so many public workers. America is struggling with unemployment, but Mayor Bloomberg is pushing the unemployment rate higher and higher.
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
They have waged war against working people and particularly public workers. No layoffs! No layoffs! Thank you.
Privatization always means less service for more money. He's not about trimming the budget. He's about trimming city workers and trimming permanent employees. Tax the rich. Don't bleed the poor. Tax the rich. We're looking at over 100 layoffs at the Department of Finance, most in Local 1113. I'd like to bring up the president, Deborah Pitts from 1113, to speak about what her people are going through.
We're going to be doing this a lot more. Because we got to send a message to our mayor that New York City is not just for the rich. I'm facing 90 layoffs. Most of those are the lowest on the totem pole. If they make $30,000, they make a lot. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. For the mayor, for the commissioner of finance, to throw these guys out in the street during the holiday season is appalling. Not to mention, they say that there's a freeze on hiring. Well, I've been seeing hiring going on, and it's not at the level that I work. My numbers are being asked to train people to do their job once they're laid off. How nice is that? I will be out here every day if I have to make the mayor know we're not just going to lay down. This city is for us, too. I know he's trying to make it a little haven for all his rich buddies, and I refuse to just give my job up like that. All of these big pensions that he say we're getting, which we're not, we fought for those. We gave back for those. We deserve to have pensions. We deserve to have jobs that give us health care. What is the problem with our mayor? Why is he not hearing? Why are we speaking on deaf ears? Well, somebody just said it. Because he's a billionaire. And it seems like all that money is stuffed in his ears. Well, Mayor Bloomberg, I'm here to pull it out. I'm not going to just lay down and let you put my workers out of work. I will be there to fight you.
No more layoffs.
No more layoffs. No more layoffs. No more layoffs.
City time is wasted time. City time is Bloomberg's crime. City time is wasted time. City time is Bloomberg's crime. I'd like to introduce Lillian Roberts, Executive Director, DC-37.
Over the last 8 or 9 years, this union has put out about 5 or 6 white papers talking about waste, and nobody paid any attention to us. And you heard $80 million, you heard $780 million. There's billions of dollars of our taxpaying money going elsewhere when we need jobs and we need all kinds of services. They don't pay attention. We're not each other's enemy. We support each other. The loss of these dollars has impact on everything here in the city. The homeless, the children, 17,000 children without homes. The rents are very, very high and they can't afford them. The public services for our seniors and daycare, all of these are things that support the workers. All of us are in this together, and the layoffs and the misery that we have undergone. Talk to your neighbors about what's happened, because we have to do our own talking. The media, as you well know, don't pick up none of these things because it's bought and sold. And so I want you to know that we have to talk among ourselves. And the pantries are even out of food with all of this nonsense. When millions and billions of dollars are going out of this state elsewhere, and we don't know where it's going, that's another investigation. And so what you have heard so far is only the tip of a dirty iceberg. You're going to hear more and more every day. And you'd be right on top of the case because it impacts on us. Right. And, of course, there should be no more layoffs. Right. Why should we be laid off that's while the money is going out of this that's state? Right. And so we are going to be fighting that. And I'm going to call on the city council to do its job. It has powers. In the past, we have never used the power that we have. That's the problem. And now we have a controller that's using his power. And I'm grateful to him for that. And we also have the city council. I want them to use their power now. Every time that they talk about layoffs, I want them to examine it and look at these contracts. And there should be no more cuts of any services until we find out what's going on in this city. People United will never be defeated.
Thank you for that. Right. Daryl Couch from Local 375 representing some of the laid off workers.
I don't understand how the mayor or the commissioner of finance can lay off civil servant people. My whole unit is targeted for layoff as about 14 people, and they expect maybe three people to continue to do the work, 14 people over the five boroughs, and I think it's totally outrageous for the mayor or the commissioner of finance to put people out of work, hardworking people who've worked for 15, 20, 25 years for the agency, and they're just out on the street. I'm here to support everyone who's affected at this time. This is only the beginning. This man has put his friends from Wall Street in city jobs, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. Thank you very much. This is Hyacinth.
I'm Hyacinth Cooper. I also work with the Department of Finance in the tax map office. I am one of the persons who is also laid off. And I am not sure, you know, whether there are jobs out there, you know, for me. I have a family just as everybody else, too. I have a son who's going to be starting college just now. Mayor Bloomberg, how am I going to pay my son's school fee? Right. Will you take my job away from me? Right. This is not right. And putting in six-figure people salaries for what? This is not right. This is deplorable. Right. You need to find some other way in order to fix the city. Find another way.
Find another way. Find another way. Tax Wall Street. Don't ax workers. Tax Wall Street. Don't ax workers. No more layoffs. No more layoffs. Councilmember Letitia James.
During this time, it's important that we come together and recognize that this is a struggle and a fight. Because it's the titans of Wall Street who have brought down our economy. And it's the mastermind of Wall Street who now walk the halls of City Hall who are responsible for an $80 million plus hole in our budget. The masterminds of the universe who came from Wall Street, who apparently allowed $80 million to walk out the door without the lack of oversight, the lack of accountability, the lack of any oversight with respect to this project. Why? Because they don't believe and they don't value the hard work of union workers in the city of New York. And we recognize that union workers built this city and built the middle class. And this city could not run but for each and every one of you and the hard work that you have done. And that's why I'm here today to join with you. And that's why we investigated City Time. $80 million and more and more and more. The mayor of the city of New York basically says, well, I screwed up. You screwed up royally, Mr. Mayor. And now, Mr. Mayor, what you have to do is impose no layoffs. No layoffs. No layoffs. No layoffs until every penny is accounted for. We want our money back too, so we can save your jobs, and we should work together. Now is the time to let the city know that they cannot allow private profiteers to hijack our community, our government. The power is in the people. No layoffs. This is a union town. Mr. Mayor, we want our money.
Faye Moore from Local 371, President.
Working people are special to me. Union members are special to me. And their interests are worth fighting for. That's why we're out here today. Union brothers and sisters, this is it. They want to push us against the wall. A local disappeared last week. We have layoff notices of over 300 people pending. They are trying to break this union. They are trying to turn this into a non-union town. Our interests are special, and we will be out here every day for as long as it takes to let people know our interests are special. We pay taxes here. We make the quality of life go up in this city. This city's a better place. the job done right. Local 371 in our own layoff struggle stands with Local 375, Local 1113, and any union worker that is hurting wherever they're hurting. We are one movement, and the only way we win this is if we act like one movement.
Councilman Braylanders.
A few weeks ago, Republicans in Congress decided to hold the working class and the middle class hostage on tax cuts. They said if a family earning $50,000 a year is going to get $2,000 in tax relief, then a family earning $1 million a year has got to get $100,000 in tax relief. And unfortunately, Congress and the president, you know, got the hostages out, but at the cost of tax fairness and billions of dollars. At the same time, we're seeing city layoffs. We're seeing state budget caps. So what are we going to do? Councilmember Tish James, Councilmember Donis Riguez, and I, and the New York City Council Progressive Caucus yesterday introduced a plan. If Washington doesn't need the tax dollars from the wealthiest 2% of Americans, from millionaires and billionaires, then New York does. They'll still get a lot of tax relief, everything President Obama and congressional Democrats promised. It's just that last bit that Mitch McConnell and John Boehner eked out for the wealthiest households here in New York. We'll collect it through a simple tax surcharge. Who wants to guess how much money New York City and New York State could take in with just applying the plan that President Obama and most Americans agreed not to give income tax cuts over $250,000? $8 billion. So all we got to do is make it a little fairer, put that surcharge in place, take those Bush-era tax cuts on the wealthiest 2% households, and we don't have to lay off today's workers. We don't have to gut our public sector. We don't have to deny New Yorkers services in their communities. We can revitalize our neighborhoods. We can save the public sector services that we need, and we can have a fairer tax system all at the same time.
Tax Wall Street, don't ax workers. Tax Wall Street, don't ax workers.
No layoffs! No layoffs!
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.